Hello, thank you for listening today. My name is Russ Marin. I'm the pastor of Monclova Road Baptist Church. Today we're in chapter 5 of 1 John. Please let me read this verse to you. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. My friend, you can know that you have eternal life in heaven by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let's go right now to the church auditorium for today's message.
Do you have Christ in your life? Do you have Christ? If you have Christ, you're saved. If you don't have Christ, you're not saved. It's so simple. Satan wants all these rules and regulations. Have you done this and this and this and this and this and this? Do you have Christ? If you do, you're saved. Maybe you walked in here today and you've never asked Christ to come into your life. The Bible says, Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever asks God, will you come into my life, shall be saved. That's simple. It's simple. Do you think that God is going to give us a way to get to heaven that only the intellect can understand it? Or only the strong? Or only the beautiful? No. God has given us a way to heaven that is simple, so simple that everyone can understand it. And everyone that wants to go to heaven can do it. Do you have Jesus Christ as your Savior? He that has Christ has life. He that doesn't have Christ doesn't have life. Now, verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he heareth whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have desired of him. Here's another indication that you're saved. If you're saved, you get prayer answered. Very simply. You're saved, you get your prayer answered. Amen? John 13:35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you love one another, if you believe in Christ, if you get your prayers answered, you know that you're my disciple. Now verse 16, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death, I do not say that he shall pray for it. Now, it's very serious. Most sins, many sins that we commit are not going to be sins unto death. But this verse, verse 16, says there is a sin unto death. There is a sin that will bring death in your life. Now, it's not the unpardonable sin, because the unpardonable sin we find in the Gospels is rejecting Christ as Savior. So the unpardonable sin applies only to the unsaved. If you're saved, you cannot commit the unpardonable sin. You cannot commit it. As a believer in Jesus Christ, you cannot commit the unpardonable sin, right? Because the unpardonable sin is when the Holy Spirit draws you to Christ for salvation. You say, no, no, for a final time, absolutely, I don't want anything to do with God. Final time, final decision, that's the unpardonable sin. You cannot be forgiven. By the way, that's why people go to hell. They don't go to hell for drinking. Don't go to hell for murder. They go to hell for rejecting Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. That's the unpardonable sin. But this verse says, verse 16, says that there is a sin unto death. And let me say this. It's not a specific sin that would apply to all of us, but it is different sins. Your sin that would be a sin unto death may very well be different from what that sin would be for me. As an example, Moses was in the wilderness. God told him to speak to the rock, and God was going to bring forth water. Moses was angry, and instead of speaking to the rock, he took his rod and he hit the rock twice. Which the rock was a picture of Christ, and Christ only had to be crucified one time. And because of his anger, God said, you will not enter into the promised land, Moses. You're going to die early. Moses committed a sin unto death. You know, God let him resume his leadership of Israel, but he never entered into the promised land. He sinned unto death because of his anger in Moses' case. In Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira came before Peter, came before God. They sold their property, and they brought the money from the property to God. However, they lied to God. They said that they brought it all, and they didn't. Now, they didn't have to bring it all, but they said they did. And they lied to God. And instantly, when they lied to God, God dropped Ananias, and then a little bit later, he dropped Sapphira dead. Right there, right as they stood before Peter, stood before God, God dropped them dead. So they died because they lied. In Corinthians chapter 13, we read, apparently, that when the church was coming together for a feast, for fellowship, and to serve the Lord's table, that some men were becoming drunk at the church feast. And God says, for that reason, some of you are sick, and some of you have died. So they died, apparently, for their drunkenness. So you have Moses died because of his anger. Ananias and Sapphira died because of their lying, and the men in Corinthians 11 apparently died because of their own drunkenness. So the sin unto death, when you reach a point where apparently your life in some way is going to be a disgrace to God, God may take you home. In 1 Corinthians 5, the man was living in immorality. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth and said, listen, this man is living in sin, and you're puffed up. You're not doing anything about it. He said, get him out of the church because of his sin. You see, his sin was unrepented of. He was still living with his stepmother, apparently living in incest. And Paul said, get him out of the church, turn his flesh over to Satan, that his soul may be saved. So Paul was willing at that point, turn his flesh over to Satan, let Satan take his life. It would have been a sin unto death. But in 2 Corinthians, we read that the man repented of his sin and came back to church. And by the way, that's always the reason for church discipline, is to bring repentance, to get the person to quit sinning and to come back. And the man repented and he came back. And Paul said, love him that he not be overwhelmed by his sin. So he didn't die, but if he would have, it would have been a sin unto death. He would have been sinning because of the immorality. He would have been sinning unto death. So does that make sense? Chapter 5, verse 16 says, there is a sin unto death. You know, once a person has committed that sin unto death, then God's going to take him. Verse 17, all unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. Now there's one more evidence of being saved that's given in this chapter, and it begins at verse 18. It says, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Here again, it is practice of sin. It doesn't mean you're perfect. There's no one that gets saved and just never sins again. It means that you do not practice sin. It says, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one touches him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. The fourth evidence that we're saved, number one, you believe on Jesus as the Christ, you love the brethren. Number two, you love God, you keep God's commandments, you obey. Number three, you get your prayers answered. Number four, he gives a fourth reason, and that is you don't practice sin, okay? Now, the whole world is asleep on this. The whole world is asleep, and that the whole world is believing that salvation is a result of them being good, a result of following good works. And yet the Bible would teach that all it takes is a simple faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to read verse 21 and then we're done. Verse 21, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Little children, after all this, all five chapters now, John closes with one commandment here. Keep yourselves from idols. An idol is anything that is standing between you and Jesus Christ. Now, I don't think there's anyone in our church, or very few, I don't know that there's anybody, that is going home and worshiping statues or idols, things like that. That's not a problem in our society today, at least in saved circles, all right? However, anything else that would come between you and Jesus Christ, biblically, is an idol. Anything that's keeping you or me from Christ, maybe it's sports, or maybe it's too much work. Maybe your idol is work, and you're going to work, and you're going to work, and it's going to keep you away from Christ. And John here says, little children, talking to believers, keep yourselves from idols. I tell you, being here this morning is so very important. I don't believe there is anything in the world that is more important than being in the house of God on a regular basis. Surely, surely not. When you talk about your relationship with Christ, surely 5, 6, 7-year-old soccer is not more important than being in the house of God on a Sunday morning. Surely ballet lessons or piano lessons or any other type of lesson is not more important than being in the house of God. Don't let any of those things become an idol. Now, the world would say, you got all these things to do and places to go and games and everything. No, you don't. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And I would just say to you, you've got to trust God in this area. God can take care of your kids without being at a game or being in a league that plays on Sunday. The world has no regard whatsoever for the house of God. Schools all over the country, they have commencements now on Sunday because they don't care about the church of God. They don't care about the things of God. And those things become an idol between you and God. Just a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Nothing should come between that relationship